Welcome to the Godcast with Benjamin Shelby. It is my goal through this episode to show you how the Bible is not only accessible to you, applicable to your life, but also attainable and not so far out there, and you can do everything that God tells you to do. So I hope you enjoy this episode as we are looking into the Bible, and I pray that you can not only hear the words, but apply it to your everyday life and allow God to work in miraculous ways. The Bible. Everyone says that the Bible is an important book and that it can change your life, but fact is a lot of us have a hard time understanding how the Bible can change our life. And the reason why is because the parts of the Bible that really get deep into how the Word of God can change your life might seem a little bit few and far between to actually find. But Psalm 119, which is a chapter that a lot of people just disclude because it's so long and so lengthy that nobody thinks that they can actually read through it, Psalm 119 is very important to understand how the Bible can help you in your everyday life and how the Bible changes lives. So for the next weeks, I mean several weeks, we're going to be looking through Psalm 119. And it's going to be every Monday we're going to do it. So every Monday, just know we're going to read a little bit of Psalm 119. And we're not even going to bite off a lot. This episode might be under 10 minutes because all I want to do is help you understand the first four verses. And when you break down the first four verses and then the next four verses or so, when you keep breaking it down, it all starts to come together and all makes more sense on how God can change your life through His Word. So we're going to begin in Psalm 119 today. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast diligently commanded us to keep thy," or the house, let me reread that last verse. "Thou hast commanded us to diligently keep thy precepts." Okay? Here we go. The first verse. Now, when you break down scripture, you have to realize that a lot of it needs to be interpreted. And what does that mean? Well, you know, certain words like undefiled, you think you know what the meaning is. But the way I like doing it is you can break down the word. I have a Strong's Concordance, so that's what I was looking through. When you break down a word, it just automatically opens up a new window of meaning there. Okay? Blessed is the first word. But then the next word is undefiled. Blessed are the undefiled. Well, let's see if we can find ourselves in this undefiled word. Let's see if we can find our names in the word undefiled. The word undefiled means entire, integrity, truth, without blemish, complete, full, perfect, sincerely, sincerity, without spot, upright, whole. Those who are undefiled, those who are blessed, are the ones who keep their integrity, their truth, who are without blemish, complete, full, perfect, sincere, without spot, upright, they're whole. Now, a lot of us, actually, everybody should not assume that they're in that list. Because I can tell you right now, even just the way that I am as I speak to you, I am not found in this list. I am not always without blemish. I'm not perfect. I'm not without spot. I'm not always upright. I'm not whole. None of us can ever measure up to this undefiled. So then why would God's word say, "Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord"? Why does it say that? Why does it say that those are blessed when nobody can measure up? When we think about the great people of faith in the Bible, we think of David. David did many, many awful things, one including murder. We think of Abraham. Abraham left his wife, to go unto another woman to see if even by going into another woman that his seed may be blessed. Let's see who else we can think of. Paul. Paul persecuted Christians when he was Saul before he got saved. These are all people who are of great faith. These are all people that are held in high esteem in faith. And the question is, are they ever blessed? Because those people are not undefiled. So how then can you be blessed when you are not found in this undefiled? Because all of those people, they were blessed. The majority of them are in the faith chapter that I just mentioned. And then Paul, he obviously was a man that was blessed by God. They're all blessed, but none of them were completely undefiled. And I think you can find yourself in that place. I think that I can find myself in that place. I am not fully undefiled. Nobody can measure up. But there is one person that fits this criteria. There is one person that fits this perfect, this sinless, this upright, this holy word that can fit into this holy word. And that person is Jesus Christ. We in ourselves, we can't be blessed. We cannot be blessed. Why? Because we cannot be undefiled. If the undefiled are blessed and we can't be undefiled, therefore we're never blessed. Right? I mean, that's basic logic right there. But let's look at something. I want to turn over to the book of John. Just really quick, you can keep your place in Psalm 119 because we will be going back there. We're going to be in John chapter 15 today. Just for this a little bit. And John 15:10, I'm not even on the right page. Let me turn the page. John 15:10 says this. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then we can jump down to verse 14. It says, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. You know, the point is that I'm trying to make here is that Jesus is the way that we can be undefiled. When you're saved, when you have taken that step of salvation, that's the way that we are undefiled. We are never blessed. This is something I want to point out. We are never, ever blessed by our own works. I don't care if you have solved world hunger. I don't care if you can figure out the cure for cancer. All of these great things you might think are great, and those things that you might think would consider yourself undefiled, you are never blessed by your own works. Why? Because all of our works are as filthy rags, Isaiah says. At least I think it's Isaiah. I might be wrong there. But the Bible says, I know that for sure. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And that doesn't matter if you're saved or if you're not saved. All of our, keyword our, works are filthy, no matter what we do. But when we walk in God, when we abide in God, I want to compare those two words. Abide in Jesus Christ is said in John 15, but walk in the law of the Lord is in Psalm 119. It's the same concept. To abide is to be in Christ, to be in his will at all times. And to walk in the law of the Lord is the same thing. And we don't really do a lot of thinking about walking, do we? Like, we don't do a lot about, like, we don't really consider thinking as we walk anywhere now that we've done it so much. It just happens. But when you really consider the concept of walking, it's one foot in front of the other. It's a step at a time. Just put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door. And yes, I did just quote Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and I can't believe I just mentioned Santa Claus on a Baptist podcast. Fire up the torches, my guys. No, but anyway, I'm kidding. It's all one walk. And when you consider the law of the Lord, when you consider the greatest commandment, which is love God and love your neighbors, all of these things, when you consider it, and you each step you take, one by one by one, each step you purposefully consider God in it, and that is how you're blessed. That's how you're undefiled. Because God says, if you abide in me, you'll be blessed. Right? Jesus is the only one that's blessed. I want to point out, we are not blessed by our own works. We are only blessed by the works that Jesus Christ does through us. When we allow Jesus to do his work through us, then we're blessed. But when we try to do all these good things, when we try to go out and we try to help people and we do things that we think might be good, but we're doing it without God, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything because God doesn't care about your good works. God only wants you to do what he called you to do. You specifically, what he's called you to do. Are you in the will of God? Are you considering walking in his footsteps? Each step you take, are you considering him in that way? Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and they which seek after him in his with their whole heart, verse 2 says. There's too much half-hearted Christianity. Can we say that? Can we also, and that's coming from somebody who sometimes can give his half heart into things. There's too much of us thinking that we're doing all this great stuff, but we're only giving half of ourselves to God because we enjoy the other things a little bit too much. We enjoy it a little bit too much. God says he wants you to seek him with your whole heart. That's how you're blessed. With your whole heart, you choose to walk in his footsteps. Verse number 3 says, they also do no iniquity. Now, we all know that we do iniquity. Iniquity is sin. We all know that we sin, right? But those that are blessed, they don't sin. How does that work then? When you sin, you know, when you're in the will of God, I am persuaded to think that you can never sin. If you're in the will of God, you will never sin because God's will is never for you to sin. But as soon as you step out, when you don't consider the next step that you're going to do, the next footstep that you're about to take, when you don't consider that, then that's when you veer off the path a little bit, and that's when you're not in God's will anymore. But as soon, the Bible says, confess it. The Bible says that as soon as you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins. Right as you confess your sins to God, because you took the wrong step, because you weren't walking in his ways, right when you confess it, you're right back to him. Turn unto me and I will turn back unto you. That's what the God says. As soon as you turn back unto him, then he forgives you. And what's amazing, and a lot of people misunderstand this, God does not forget your sins. The Bible never says that God forgets your sins. The Bible says that he remembers it no more. God's not ignorant to what you've done. God is all-knowing. God knows what you've done, but he says he chooses to never remember it again. It's a conscious choice that God, as soon as you repent, as soon as you come back to him, he remembers it no more. He purposefully sets it apart, and he will never bring it up again because he purposefully, it's not that he forgets. It's not like, oh, wait, no, he never did that. It's not like, oh, well, you know, it's not like he's oblivious. It's that he purposefully chooses to push it as far as the east is from the west. And guess what, guys? The east and the west never meet. You can go north and you can go as far north and then you start going south, but you never go east and end up coming west. Isn't that amazing? God's word says that if you do know iniquity, if you walk in his footsteps, if you, every time you do sin, you ask him for forgiveness and you choose to step back into his path, because God's not going to force you to come back. You got to do that yourself. Verse number 4, and we're going to end on this. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. You want to know a lot of the reasons why we are failing in Christianity today, in our lives today? It's because we're too busy not being diligent. Diligency is purposefully always guarding your mind, always guarding your heart, never letting any lies or sin or temptation into your mind. Because as soon as you lay your guards down and you're not diligent to fight against the very real person, Satan, and your flesh, if you're not willing to and diligently keeping your mind right, then you will fall. And God has, this is a very important word, has commanded us to keep his precepts diligently. We diligently have to not get used to walking in our spiritual life. We have to not, like we get used to walking in spirit, or when we, like we get used to walking in this physical life is what I'm saying. You know how we don't even think about walking. That's not to be so in our spiritual life. Our spiritual life, we're supposed to consider every footstep. Walk in the way of the Lord. Because no matter, if one step, it only takes one step to veer off the path. No matter how much you think you're doing all these good things, it's that one step that you forget to check your heart that can take you off the path. Walking is a one foot at a time choice. Where you allow that foot to go will determine your outcome. Are you walking in the law today? Are you walking in the love of God today? Because if you are, then Jesus says he considers you a friend, like I read earlier in John 15:14. You're his friend. But a lot of us, we're having a hard time walking. And God understands that. He's not some cosmic being just watching us and saying, oh, well, he did that again. That's too bad. I guess let's see if he does better next time. No, as soon as you fall, as soon as you forget to walk in his statutes, if you go right back to him, as soon as you turn back to him, he comes running to you. And just like that, you're back on path with God again. So that was the first four verses of Psalm 119. And we're going to read the next, probably in the next four verses again next time. So remember, God's word is valuable. The Bible is just a book if you don't allow it to change your life. But as soon as you allow it, the truth, to sink in, that's when your life is changed.